Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You'll remember I preached the first time about from the manger to the cross, that Jesus came to save his people from their sins, and that was all about why he came to the manger. But in that verse, it talks about, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That's the first part of from the manger to the cross. Then last Sunday, we talked about the latter part of that, where it talked about the government being upon his shoulders and that he would be the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Do you note the theology of that in the fact that we see Jesus called the Mighty God? We see him as the Everlasting Father. We see him as the Prince of Peace. And folks, those things are things that our world is craving for. And let me share with you that we who have entered into a faith relationship with Christ get to celebrate him that way every day. It's not just Christmas season. It's every day of our life that we are able to have that celebration of Christ, who is our Prince of Peace, our Mighty God, our Everlasting Father. The Son who was given to us. Let me tell you my favorite scripture for Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Folks, that is a Christmas verse, just like any other, because it talks about the Son who was given. But when we look at this today, I want us to talk about unwrapping the gift. Now, have any of y'all already exchanged some gifts? Yeah, okay. And as you have, have those gifts because somebody loves you, not because you were good. You know that old Santa Claus song, you better watch out, you better not cry, better not watch. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Well, it's telling you there that your gifts are based upon your goodness. That's not why I get gifts. I'd never get any that way. I mean, it just wouldn't work. But I get gifts because somebody loves me. And I give gifts because I love somebody. Well, I want you to know that's the exact same reason God gave Christ, so that we might have a gift because he loved us. And we can love him because he loved us first, it tells us in 1 John. And so when we think about this today, let's talk about unwrapping the gift of Christ, who is that wonderful counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let me say, first of all, you need to unwrap the gift of Christ for yourself. Because in every way, the relationship with God is a personal relationship. Now notice, I didn't say a private relationship. You can't serve Jesus privately. You are a public example of Christ. But that comes from a personal relationship with Christ. And if that relationship has not started for you, I'm telling you, you can unwrap the gift of Christ this morning. Right here today, you can say, Lord, I want the gift that's given. You know, it tells us not everybody is a child of God. In John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, it says that Jesus came into his own. His own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. To them that believe on his name. If you've not begun at the place of relationship with Jesus, if you've not received him into your heart and life, you don't understand what God has as a gift for you. What I want you to see today is you unwrap the gift of Christ and he becomes your wonderful counselor through his word, through his people, through assurance that he gives to your heart of your salvation. He becomes the Mighty God for you in prayer. He becomes the Mighty God for you in providing for your needs. He becomes your defender. He becomes the one who, by the power of his Holy Spirit, works in your life as the Mighty God. Now, that's not happening to the person who's not received his gift. But to the person who has, that's something that just keeps unfolding to new levels and new levels and new levels and greater understanding of relationship with him. We all need to unwrap the gift of Christ for ourselves. He also is our everlasting Father when we've unwrapped the gift of Christ. In times of difficulty and in times where I need guidance, I know that I can have a Father to run to. Now, my earthly father died more than 10 years ago, and I had a relationship with him, but it was never like the relationship I've had with my heavenly father. I thank God for my earthly father. He was a wonderful man. I loved him. But let me tell you, my heavenly father can give me counsel that my earthly father couldn't. My heavenly father can give me peace that my earthly father couldn't. What I find is that he is the everlasting father. And the good part of that is he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't have to wonder what God is going to be like into the future. You know, that's the terror that's in a lot of religions. There are a lot of religions that think, well, if I don't live up to a certain standard, I won't go to heaven. If I don't, you know, have certain things happening by doing certain sacraments, I won't go to heaven. They have all kinds of different standards that they say, you know, in Islam, they don't know whether or not there's any assurance of salvation because they may find that God is angry with them and they go to hell. Or Allah, not God, but Allah. But I want you to understand that that's not the way our Father is. He is the same. You can come to him today, he's this way. You can come to him tomorrow, he's the same way. You can come to him in the future, he'll still be the same way because he's the same God, everlasting Father, who will be there yesterday, today, and forever. Let me also say, you can unwrap the gift of Christ for yourself and find that he's the Prince of Peace. He will speak peace in the midst of your storms. I can't tell you how many times I've been going through something and I've just taken time to step back and say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. You know, there's nothing wrong with admitting to your Father that you can't handle something, because he can. He can give you the peace that you're longing for. He is the Prince of Peace, and he can give you a peace that's not like the world gives. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but he says, I give you something deeper than my peace. Now, folks, I never saw Jesus worried about anything. Never saw him hurrying to do God's will. I never saw him just wringing his hands thinking, what am I going to do about this thing? No. He was at peace with whatever came his way, because he was the Prince of Peace, and he is for you right now if you're a child of God. What about unwrapping the gift of Christ for your family? Can I tell you that Christmas time is always a special time where family kind of puts away all the business of their schedule and takes some time for each other? How many of y'all have family here today? Several of you. I look around and I see faces I haven't seen before. I'm so glad that you have family with you. I'm so glad you have friends with you. I'm so glad that you have time with your family. One of the things that we have done as a family tradition over the last several years is, and I don't know how we got it started, maybe my wife came up with it or whatever it was, but it was suggested that we each year put in our stocking a note about what we would ask God to do within the next year. So we'd put it in our stocking, and next year when we get our stocking, we would pull that out and we would say, hey, that happened just like I prayed for it. Or no, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm still praying and believing that God's going to bring it to pass. But what we would do is we would begin to talk about what God was going to do. It was a spiritual way of inserting our faith into Christmas in that celebration. Now, I'll tell you, I think it had a large impact on our son-in-law, who at the time was not yet an avid follower of Christ, but he became one. And this year, he made a suggestion to the family as a young Christian. I think he's about 5 years old in the faith. And he said, I think something we need to do as a family is we need to read the Bible together. There's a YouVersion app that we use every day. And we read the same passage of Scripture. And at the bottom of it, it says, your response. Now, at the bottom of that, you can write out something, and it goes to every family member. I tell you, this has been a wonderfully rich year for me as a Christian and as a father. Because it's kind of like what we were doing when my kids were little and we'd gather in our home every evening and say our prayers together and do a family devotion. And I just get time to talk about what God's saying in my heart. I want you to know it's important that your family understands faith is important to you. Faith is your faith. Faith is something that God is interacting in your universe with. So when we unwrap the gift of Christ for our family, we need to know that He's our wonderful counselor. Let me tell you, He can guide the husband and wife in their relationships. And don't you know, that's where a whole lot of things go haywire. Because people don't really seek God's direction in a husband and wife relationship. They don't find out what God says about those things. The Bible also instructs us in families how to raise our children. So He's our wonderful counselor in that. Y'all ever run into some things with your kids and you think, man, I haven't done that yet. Well, you will if you haven't. Because there are things that come about in the lives of our children, and they're facing things that maybe you didn't face. I promise you, my kids and grandkids are understanding things at a far earlier age than I did as a young person. And I'll tell you, when I see these things happening in their lives, I want God's counsel for them because He's the wonderful counselor. And in our family, we unwrap that gift that way. Also, we unwrap the gift of Him being the mighty God in the fact that He is helping us through those crises. He is miraculously providing for us. Do you let your family know when God's provided something? I think it's important that when we have God's provision, that we testify to that because of God's goodness. He's the mighty God. He's also protecting us. This past week, there's also a little thing that my youngest daughter has started doing called story time. And it asks me, as the father, to tell a story about a certain particular thing. And this particular story was about, have you ever seen times where God's protection was there? And I just began to just reel in my mind of all of the times God has shown up in a miraculous way protecting us from terrible, terrible things that are happening around us. He's the mighty God. He's also the everlasting Father for our family. For when He is directing our life, He's the one who also directs our stewardship. I mean, we ought to be faithful to God with our gifts. We ought to be good in understanding that our Father has provided for us, and we ought to obey what He says about giving it. He's the everlasting Father for the salvation of your kids and grandkids. I know that this sounds silly to some people, but it's not silly to me. When our grandkids are born, in that first week of their life, I tell them the plan of salvation. And that say that one of these days, God's going to open your hearts. And He's going to speak to you. And you're going to need to know that Jesus is ready to come into your heart and life. I tell them that over and over again until that day where they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because you see, He's the everlasting Father in that way. And let me tell you, He's also the Prince of Peace for your family, bringing peace for their storms, not just yours. Right now, I've asked you to pray for certain situations in my own family where they're going through a particular storm. I believe they're about to come out the other side of those storms. But I'll tell you something, they've not been easy. But when we come to the everlasting Father, He's the one who is able to bring that peace in their storm. He's the Prince of Peace. And folks, this teaches them how to trust God in our family. How about unwrapping the gift of Christ for your church? Well, let me say, he's the wonderful counselor here. It's because of the Word of God that is the all-sufficient Word. It is that which is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let me tell you, the Word of God is that counsel that God gives you as the wonderful counselor. And Jesus was called the Word made flesh. Folks, he's both the Logos, the written Word, and he's the Rhema, the experienced Word. And as we see this, we find that Jesus Christ shows himself to be the wonderful counselor. And let me tell you the balancing point for that in your life. It's sharing your faith. It's the Great Commission. But also, he is the mighty God for your church. The church needs to learn to walk by faith. Do you know that? That's one thing I have loved about being a pastor, was the opportunity to take people and let them walk with me by faith into the things that God is unfolding for us as a church body. And, you know, as your supply preacher, and that's I've tried not to overstep my bound in that, but I want you to understand, it's hard because my gift is pastor-teacher. I love to pastor the people of God. I love to help to equip them to do the works of ministry. I love to see that happening as the church unfolds. I've watched it over and over and over again. My first church as a senior pastor was down at Lake Eufaula, and it reminds me so much of this church because, it has that lake culture where you have people who are coming down just every now and then, but this is their home church when they're here and all of that. So you develop relationships with people all over. And I was young when I was there. I was 28 when I started there. And so every time one of those churches would be without a pastor, I was their lake pastor, they'd send their pulpit committee to our church. And that happened over and over again. One Sunday I had three pulpit committees in the same service. And I said to them, I said, folks, this church knows that I'm secure as their pastor. So I'd like to introduce you from Oak Grove. Would you all stand up over here from Bristow? You all are here, and then we have some Salisaw over here, and we have another group right here. And I introduced them to the church, and they were going... I said, let me just share with you that the church needs to be a place where the people of God are comfortable with one another, where the people of God know how to walk by faith. And when we are unwrapping the gift of Christ as the wonderful counselor for our church, we need to help people walk by faith. It's just step after step after step. Walking by faith is not rocket science. Folks, it's just finding the next step. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So what I need to do is I need for our church, as a pastor, to find that next step of faith. Take it. And then look for the next step. Take it. Look for the next step. Take it. Because the church needs to know that he's your wonderful counselor too. Unwrap the gift of Christ, church. Find what he has for you. And let me also say that in the church, he's our everlasting Father. You know, one of the things that I'm really glad that the church can do is we can minister to people in times where they are touched by death. Because we have a message that is not an end in itself. No, it's the beginning. And death is a door to a new eternity, a new experience of life like we've never experienced it. And the church can find that he is the everlasting Father in that time. We help one another through those difficult times. The church that I just retired from at First Baptist Church of Commerce, I bragged on them all the time about the way they ministered to people in times of the passing of a loved one. Because they were so good about that. They just comforted one another, and they made great meals, and they invited people to their homes. It was just a good thing to see the church responding like the Father would have us respond. And for the church, he's also the Prince of Peace. You know, the church should be a place where the peace of God should be experienced. We should have peace with one another. We should have peace within the corporate body. I've never understood Baptist churches where people say, well, we're Baptists, we like to argue. Well, you can have that stuff. I don't want anything to do with it. Okay? I just don't believe that we have to, because we have the name Baptist in our name, that we have to feel like we want to argue about everything. People say, well, I have my right to my opinion. Well, you do. Doesn't mean everybody has a right to your opinion. Okay? Because sometimes that gives a real struggle to the body of Christ when we are upsetting the peace of Christ that's within the body. And let me also say, when we are showing what it's like for the church to get along, we're showing the world something that's pretty attractive to them, because they don't have that many places. I mean, how many school board meetings you see that are just lovey-dovey and everybody's doing everything just right? How many city council meetings? How many things like that in other settings do you see people preferring one another and loving one another and getting along? No, that just doesn't happen very much. How about in our capital in Washington? You see a lot of getting along up there? I almost see none. Okay? And so I want to see something that shows the gift of Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, and He is for the church. You know, in every one of our lives, we also have realms of influence where we need to unwrap the gift of Christ. Whether it's our city or our area out here on the lake, the island, or whatever it is, let me share with you in Jeremiah chapter 29. Everybody likes to quote verse 11 where it says, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Everybody likes that verse. But have you ever read the verses around it? Jeremiah tells the people who are in captivity in Babylon when this is happening, you're going to be here a while, so settle down, build houses, plant gardens, raise your families. And it says, and pray for the peace of your city, for in their peace you will prosper. Can I tell you something? Christians need to be the people who are catalysts for good things happening in the city. I'll tell you, one of the things that is attractive to people who don't necessarily come to this church, but they know that this church cares about them, is that your blessing box. Things where you're doing things to help people who are hungry and poor and need that kind of thing happening there. Let me say to you that when we find the gift of Christ open for our city, we can pray for our leaders. We can pray for the welfare of our city and our area. We can also find that He's our wonderful counselor. And as an ambassador, we should speak God's counsel to difficult situations as well. Now, I'd like for everything to always be agreeable, but it's not always agreeable. And sometimes we need to say, this is the standard that God sets. Now, let me share with you that when that happens, there will be people who will disagree with us. That's okay. We still say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God says. And as we set that standard before our cities, we are ambassadors for Christ. He is our wonderful counselor, and we are in positions to affect God's counsel upon others. Let me tell you, if you are a school teacher, if you are, you know, working in a service industry, or you are an emergency responder or anything like that, you have the opportunity to represent Christ and show your city the gift of Christ. He's the mighty God in this setting too. Because let me say that when we see God working as the mighty God, He can get people's attention. I can't tell you how many times, and I've mentioned this a time or two, but I used to be the director of the Baptist Association in Joplin, and I happened to be there at the time when the Joplin tornado hit. I was also the president of the the secular organization called the COAD, the Community Organizations Active in Disasters. Those of you who are in emergency organizations know of VOADs and things like that, the Voluntary Organizations Active in Disasters. This is like that. But when FEMA came to our town, we'd had a tornado in Joplin, or in Carl Junction some years before. We'd had one in Neosho. We'd responded to ice storms. We'd done all kinds of things, and our COAD was working well with our city. And as we were doing that, it made an impact upon people where they would say, why? Why would you help us like this? I remember especially during those ice storms. You remember a few years ago when we had ice storms on both ends of the years and they lasted for weeks, and it was pretty tragic for a lot of folks. Well, when those trees were breaking down on people's houses, our disaster relief unit from our association went and served those people. And I told my guys, I said, if you see a homeowner, one of you go over and begin to talk to them and just pray with them, because they're going through a crisis. They're having a tough time. We got to do that over and over and over again during those weeks where we were doing disaster relief work during those ice storms. And during that, in Southwest Missouri, we saw 28 people come to faith in Christ. And you know why? They said, why are you doing this? I said, because this is what God would have Christians to do. You see, when we are trying to do those things that help unwrap the gift of Christ for our cities, it will make an impact upon people. And let me tell you that when that happens, praise God, but don't touch the glory. Don't say, look at us, how wonderful we are. No, no, no. It's how wonderful our God is. Now, when we think about the idea of unwrapping the gift of Christ, we've been told to take the gospel to all the world. You see, we've talked about ourselves, our families, our cities. And let me tell you, now we're talking about where Jesus said to go. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. And baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to do all the things that I've commanded you. And he says, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Can I tell you, that's a wonderful gift that we are given. And it's the fact that we have the opportunity to be missionaries. You know, we talk about missionaries and we think about somebody that goes overseas. Can I tell you something? God sent you on mission where you live. You're to be a missionary to your friends, family, co-workers, realms of influence, because you see, he's the wonderful counselor. And if we are taking the gospel to every creature, that means that we're doing whatever is necessary. It may be giving, it may be praying, it's both of those. It's going, too. We need to be cognizant of the fact that God is giving us opportunities day after day after day after day. Therefore, take advantage of those gospel opportunities that God has given you as the wonderful counselor. He's also the mighty God. In Philippians chapter 2, we see where it says that Jesus came and took upon himself the form of a servant. And because of that, it says God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me tell you, he has the power to save, and it's undiminished in this age. He can bring societal change. He can change things that are upside down and backwards, like a lot of our political correctness today. He can change political leaders. Thank God for that from time to time. He can change terrorists into followers of Christ. I've seen that happen. Did you know? Now, you'll remember this if you're older, but there was a fellow down in Central America who was named Daniel Ortega. He was a bad guy. Folks, he was captured by some of our U.S. soldiers and brought back and put in a prison in Miami, Florida. While he was there, some Christians began to talk to him and share with him about faith in Christ. And folks, he repented and became a brother in Christ, and they discipled him to be a follower of Jesus, and now he's sharing with others about the faith that he once tried to destroy. Why? Because Jesus is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He has an eternal plan for us to make Christ known into all the world. He has told us that there is no end to our responsibility of sharing the gospel until everyone knows the gospel. He also is the Prince of Peace as we go to the world. He will return. And last week I talked about the time when he will set up his millennial reign and he will be the Prince of Peace. He will even enforce peace on those who will try to overthrow it. But let me tell you, he has the end. And in his reign, when he comes again, that's the time where men will beat their swords into plowshares and that people will enjoy things that they've prayed for all of the centuries. You see, what we need to do is make Christ fully known. And as we come to Christmas, there's so much here. There's so much opportunity. There's so much that we can have together as the family of God. Today, if you're here and you have never quite come to that place of starting with Christ, I can tell you, we can show you how right here today. Because the Bible tells us that if we will receive him, we will become the children of God. If you need to unwrap the gift of Christ in your own heart, in your life, we'll give you opportunity right here today. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to be with your people. Thank you for the chance to think about all of the ways that you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we love you. We thank you for drawing people even today to a faith relationship with you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.